Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
Another story that you might have heard this week was the scientific breakthrough by the famous American geneticist Dr. Craig Venter. He's said to have created the first artificial life, a cell containing DNA that was built from scratch in a laboratory using just four bottles of chemicals. According to the experts, it's an achievement that goes well beyond regular genetic engineering. They're calling it a giant leap for the scientific world. It's probably got a few people wondering, though, is this okay? What about this idea of creating artificial life in a petri dish? Where could it lead? Dr. Brian Edgar is a theologian and ethicist who has done a lot of tracking of these kinds of topics. He's with ISCAST, the Institute for the Study of Christianity in an Age of Science and Technology, and joins us again. Brian, welcome to Open House. Good to talk to you again.
Oh, thanks very much, Sheridan. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Craig Venter's well known in the science world for pushing the boundaries in the area of genetics all around, isn't he?
He certainly is. He's a very serious scientist. He was very involved with the sequencing of the human genome, and he was the first person to have their complete human genome, their entire DNA established and published. It's also been said that previously, in about 2007, that he created life back then. The definition of what it means to create life is pretty loose. It's not really creating life, but he has, in this instance, he has created the first living organism with a completely synthetic genome, and that, in terms of science, that's an amazing achievement.
Okay, now just explain that a little bit further. How did he actually do it, and what actually has been the result?
Right. Well, every living creature has its own sequence of DNA, which is the blueprint for what the organism is, and it's made up of just four chemical bases, which are usually called G, A, T, and C, which is a lot easier than saying the actual name. Mm-hmm. And it's just a long sequence of G, A, T, C, C, G, T, T, A, and that's basically your DNA. And they used a computer to design a particular structure of DNA, and then they made it up from those four chemicals. And then they got themselves sort of a donor cell, a bacteria, and they took out the DNA that was in there, and they put in the new DNA, and then this new bacteria grew, and it began to replicate itself. And so now the world has a new bacteria which previously didn't exist.
Okay. Now, you were saying before you don't think it's actually creating life itself.
Well, it's, in one sense, it's simply borrowing and using what already exists in the world. This is not the sort of creation of life in the way that God creates life, which is out of nothing. Yeah. They had to use what was already around. But nonetheless, it is, what they've done is they have designed a new form of life. And that is very significant.
It is indeed. Where could it lead? I mean, if we've now got a new bacteria that the world never had before, and yes, indeed, they have been able to create something that hasn't been in existence before, what could it become, and what could it be used for?
Well, I think we'd have to say there are both short-term and long-term implications. In the short term, if you can make bacteria in this way, then you could make bacteria, design it, to do the things that bacteria do. Now, bacteria are already used to clean up many types of water and soil pollution. And if you had the right sort of bacteria, I mean, we haven't at the moment, but if you did, you might be able to help clean up the huge oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico with the right sort of bacteria. Mm-hmm. You might be able to create biofuels by using bacteria. And there might be medical uses as well. We know that, you know, bacteria not only cause infections, but some sorts of bacteria are actually good at helping in the healing of wounds. And so to be able to create bacteria to do that might be really helpful. Mm-hmm. And then at the moment, we artificially synthesize insulin. We used to have to collect it from the bodies of dead people, but now it's artificially made, and it's possible that bacteria could perhaps be used to synthesize other products for medical uses. So those are the sort of things that bacteria might be able to do. Mm-hmm. But
So those are some of the good things.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, of course, even with something as small as a bacteria, there are risks. If you make a new bacteria, well, it might have properties that we don't know about, and it could cause environmental or health problems. And so it's a very complicated matter to work out what's going to be good in terms of health and environmental outcomes. There is certainly a risk involved in it, so it has to be very carefully managed.
So could it be like we sometimes see in sci-fi movies when, you know, the strange new bacteria gets dropped on the floor of the lab and then is released at large to the world and nobody can bring it back? I mean, you know, could we have some sort of scenario where once this bacteria actually does get out, you know, there is some sort of trouble in containing it or you know, stopping its negative effects?
Well, that in theory, that is a possibility. And it's difficult to generalize because these things can happen around the world. Certainly, this kind of genetic modification or creation of this new form of life, if it takes place somewhere like Australia or America, then the laboratories are very safe places. There's normally not a problem there. The risk does come when you deliberately decide to sort of let it out, because once you've let it out, there's no calling it back. It can't be recalled like a car. So you do have to be absolutely certain. So the danger that you allude to does exist. It's but it's probably fairly small, but the greater danger is that it's deliberately released after a lot of work and yet perhaps still has some effect that is unknown. So there's definitely risk involved.
Yeah. This is Open House right across the nation. We're talking about this story you might have heard this past week about the creation of a new form of life, a cell-containing DNA made from scratch in a lab, four bottles of chemicals and a computer. A little bit more complex than that, I'm sure, but still, it's the basic thing. 1-300-40-2020, if you've got something to throw into the conversation. How do you feel about this? Are you okay? I mean, it could actually be that we have got the creation or the beginnings of maybe the creation of some solutions to these new things, or maybe you're not not very happy about it at all. I'd love to hear. So, Brian, some of the other concerns that people have actually raised was this whole idea of, you know, are we starting to see the creation of, like, hybrid humanity, you know, cyborgs and things
well,
like
they are,
that.
The bacteria and what you can do there, that is short term. But even short term, it's going to be some years away, I think. But the long term implications are, yes, more profound. And somebody said once, and I think it's probably right, that we tend to overestimate what will happen in the short term with this kind of scientific development and underestimate what it will mean in the long term. Because really, the greater significance of this is that it is another step along the way of being able to reform, restructure life forms, not merely at the bacterial level, but really ultimately at any level. So we are starting to move along the process of recreating or reforming life, and that's very significant.
Have you heard of what Dr. Craig Venter's and his institute plans are for this in the future?
No, I haven't. The institute, just to say in general, the institute that he's working for is a non-profit, so a private non-profit organisation. However, somewhere along the line, one of the big issues is commercialisation. They're spending a lot of money on getting this ready, and so they've obviously got commercial plans, which you don't usually flag too far in advance, but there'll be commercial uses for this bacteria. I'm not sure exactly what they're going to be working on first. There's big money involved in it.
And there was talk I heard also that they had put a watermark, some sort of brand, I guess, basically into the DNA?
Yes, they did. They were playing almost little games with it.
James Joyce quote or something?
Using the name, something around the name Venter, has been using the GATC and translating that into chemical form. They've somehow put that into the DNA. It's sort of a little, I think it's kind of cute in a way, but maybe they are seeing it as being a way of being able to identify what they have created, although I suspect there'd probably be other ways of doing it than that.
Yes. Okay, so as a theologian, what are your feelings about all of this when it comes to the God perspective about humans kind of tinkering in this area? I mean, it could have some great ramifications.
Yes.
It could also have some very negative ramifications, but we're creating new forms of life. That's basically what's happened. So
yes.
So how are you feeling about that with your, you know, theologian's hat on?
Well, let me suggest that you can look at it in two ways, and we might resolve them at the end. But the first way is those people who would say, look, creation should be left the way that God basically created it, and we shouldn't be playing God in this way, and that these sort of changes are a dangerous thing to do, and that God is the one who has set up the world. And then there are those who say, well, we're not really playing God in a trivial way here, but that in actual fact God put us here to be his representatives, his stewards in the world, and he gave us intelligence and wisdom, and we do in actual fact intervene in what's going on in the world. And the question is not whether we should do this, but whether we do it well and wisely and carefully or not.
Mm.
So a lot of it hinges certainly around our understanding of what it means to be made in the image of God. For some people, things should be left as they are. But for other people, they will say, well, part of being made in the image of God means that we are to be as creative as God is, and therefore we are to create.
Mm. And where does that leave you?
I guess I fall slightly on the side that I think we are called to use our intelligence and our wisdom and our creativity. And the real question is, how are we going to get Christian wisdom and Christian values in this? Because mm-hmm. it is something, like many other things that humanity does, that can be used for tremendous good, but it has the potential for grave danger as well.
Mm.
But then, to some extent, you could say, after all this, look, it's going to happen. Realistically, I am absolutely sure that it is inevitable that humanity as a whole will move on to do this. And so, to some extent, whether we like it or not, the question will be, how do we bring Christian wisdom and Christian values to bear on the situation?
And what sort of boundaries should be placed around it as well? I mean, could we actually see the invention of new species in the future because of the ability to create new bacteria?
Yes. I think this question is really one of the big questions that not only Christians but others have to answer, whether we can in some way define whether there are any limits to this, because up till now, certainly the notion of species, there have been boundaries on what can happen, natural boundaries that certainly in the living realm, animals can't interbreed across species lines, and yet now at all sorts of levels, those sort of concepts are being broken down. And there is the possibility, and I think we're really having to think about this for the very first time. This is a novel thing to have to think about, and I think it'll take us some time to work out what kind of boundaries there are, whether different species, whether they're bacteria or plants or animals or people, what kind of boundaries are there? I think that'll take us decades to work out.
Mm. And hopefully we'll give ourselves decades to work them out. Otherwise, you know, like you said, if the dollar sign gets attached to this and it's commercialized nice and quickly, there'll be a number of companies wanting to up that race.
Absolutely. I think the speed at which this takes place is going to be critical, because it is possible for the science to run a lot faster than public thought can cope with. And I just hope that it goes relatively slowly, and that people take this opportunity of hearing about this to start thinking seriously about what they would want, what kind of world, what kind of future they would want.
Mm. All right. Good to talk to you, Brian.
Thanks very much, Sheridan.
Yeah, thanks for your time. Theologian and ethicist Brian Edgar there. Brian-Edgar.com is his website, and he's with a number of organisations. This time he's got his hat on with ISCAST, the Institute for the Study of Christianity in an Age of Science and Technology.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.